True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
How about it? How about it? The support, standing ovation for Miss Jessica.
Woo!
Our winner today of Booth Creek Wagyu.
Way to go, Jessica.
Wagyu. Booth Creek Wagyu, 95th and Knoll, 135th and Metcalf. There are two locations, KC's Best Steaks. Jessica said what? She likes your hair.
Yep.
Your laugh.
Yep.
And that we sound great.
She says she loves the show. We sound awesome.
Oh, cool.
Come on, somebody.
Let's go, Jessica.
Let's go, Jessica.
Female listeners, stand up.
I love when
pat
somebody
on
who
the back.
Listens and loves the show gets an opportunity to win like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, she sounded like a real listener.
Yeah.
So that's awesome, Jessica. Way to go.
Not a prize pig like some of them
exactly.
are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
There we go.
Yeah, I mean, she knew what my hair looked like, so she's watched
so
our
she's,
stream.
She's definitely watching. Am I on the wrong side of the screen today? Our friend Gene Watson is, like, panicked. He doesn't know what to do because the screens are reversed
Watson,
today.
Yes!
I don't know. He says, you're on the wrong side today. My whole world has been thrown.
You are on the right side today. Well, the left side. Well, yeah, you're on the wrong side.
I'm
yeah,
on the wrong
weird.
Side today.
I mean, it is what it is, but yeah, you've switched.
I've been on the wrong side of history a lot, let me tell you. But not 119th and all. So how did you do that? Did you hit the wrong button? Button or
I guess
something?
So. I mean, hey, we're up. That's all that matters.
That's all
we
that
are
matters,
live.
Right? Yeah, it's hard at times to get this thing up and running,
yes,
and so
yes.
You know, Cody's got some controls that he messes with that doesn't tell anybody about. I firmly believe that.
It looks like Jessica texted in as well. She was really
oh,
trying
sweet.
To win. Says I'm still on the line for Booth Creek Wagyu. Wagyu. This guy that wants me to Google this, I mean, just really in his feels.
I don't really care.
As long as I pronounce Booth Creek all right, we're gonna be okay.
Yeah. Bob Davis had three rules for young broadcasters,
uh-huh.
Okay?
Say swish.
Yeah. Get in and out on time, which we never do.
Mm-mm.
Get the sponsors right, which we do. Mm-mm. And don't say F on the air. And other than that, you're going to be just fine.
Yeah, say A, B, C, D, E, G, H.
Yeah, right. That was always like Bob's advice to everybody. And somebody told that story at his memorial mm-hmm. service a couple weeks ago. And I was dying in the back because I was like, I've had that conversation so many times with Bob Davis when somebody new would come along. I got three pieces of advice for you. Get in and out on time. Get the sponsor in, and don't say the F word.
Yeah, but it looks like she said, I think Mac is awesome. He's literally my favorite. Love his laugh and his hair. Don't worry, Dusty is my crush.
Oh,
but you guys are awesome.
Wow.
There we go.
Get her number, Dusty. You're available.
Take it easy. And then somebody says, don't let Dusty drink the rest of that. He's a lightweight, and he's going to be zonked before too long. Whenever you want to hit the patio, my guy, we'll see who's a lightweight. I still want to hang out with Shane Gillis and see how much he can put down because he supposedly can put down a ton. Him and Mahomes. After hearing Mahomes put down like 36 Coors Lights in that mm-hmm. comedy show.
Yeah.
Envious. I want to see if I can.
What does he think? He's Wade Boggs or something? I mean, come on now.
Yeah. So today, I want to bring this question up because from the 785, someone texted in. Here we go. You ready, Bob? I haven't told you this yet, but this is what it is. No Royals talk today, question mark. I said this yesterday morning, but have we seen enough from Lugo to move on now? Okay. I just, I figured I'd bring that up. That's, they're done with Lugo, apparently.
Why? I sent you guys a message yesterday.
By the way, Seth Lugo yesterday, 5 2/3, 5 hits, 2 runs, 2 earned, 6 strikeouts, 2 walks. Lugo on the year has a 3.24 ERA and a whip of 1.20 in 3 starts. Also, one of those starts, a quality start. It's not his fault the offense didn't hit last night or the night before.
I mean, I'm just going to tell you, just because the Royals play doesn't mean there was something compelling to talk about every day about a baseball team that plays 162 games. There's going to be days where it just doesn't, you know, there was a game. They lost. Okay, you move on. Big deal. Happens. You're going to win 50. You're going to lose 50. Whatever you do with the rest of the 62, right?
Are we ready to move on from the Locals?
Finished second Cy Young last year.
Yeah, I mean,
wow.
And he's doing all right this year. Three games.
Sometimes I want to go to the store after work.
Get you a swaller.
Get an ice pick and just stick it in my face, because that's what those type of comments make me do. And I'll say this to you. I was on X, formerly Twitter, yesterday, and just kind of scrolling through. There's some day games taking place and just reading fans' complaints about their baseball team. It's the 9th day of April yesterday. And so I think there needs to be a new rule instituted. You are not allowed to talk about your local baseball team until at least a month into the season, right? Because people are going and having these discussions about stuff that is infantile at this point in time in Major League Baseball. We're at April 10th. Some people have just started their first home games this week in Major League Baseball, and there's people jumping off a cliff and saying things about their baseball team after 10 games, after 11 games. And I think a new rule in sports is you're not allowed to talk about baseball until you're at least 30 games into the season that we have a body of work. And I ran this theory by somebody yesterday in baseball. They go, here's how they kind of look at it. You have 40 games to kind of figure out who you are in Major League Baseball, right? The first 40 games, you're evaluating you as a team, who can play, who can't play, changes we need to make. The next 40 games, you're looking at and trying to figure out ways to get better. And then you have the final, you know, 80 games of the season where you're making a run for the postseason or whatever it is that you're doing with those final 80 games. And I think that's a good kind of rule of thumb where you are right now. I hate to say it, but like, if you're living and dying on every pitch in April, you're going to burn yourself out. There's no reason to be doing this. We don't really know what guys are going to be. Some guys started, like Aaron Judge last year. The first month of Aaron Judge's season last year was abysmal. There were people talking about trading Aaron Judge.
How did he finish?
He was the MVP.
Unanimously?
Unanimous, yeah, okay. MVP last year. Mm-hmm. Not one other person in the American League got a first place vote last year.
Yeah, we still think about that.
Right. So Aaron Judge had a horrible April last year and was the MVP of the league. Mm. And so I think, just to save people from themselves, don't talk about the baseball team in terms of all the stuff that you're talking about on April 9th or April 10th. You've got to let at least 30 or 40 games go by before you can kind of really figure out where you are.
He's just back there smashing that pimento cheese sandwich.
Ugh.
Ice pick or pimento cheese sandwich?
Ice pick after that. I mean, like, it's ridiculous. Time to move on from Lugo is one of the stupidest texts we've ever received. He was good last night. They didn't score any runs. So that's the problem. And that's kind of what I said to you guys going into the season. The Royals knew they weren't going to be a run-scoring team, so they were going to try to shut it down with pitching and defense. Sometimes, on certain nights, it just doesn't work out that way, right? Sometimes it just doesn't go according to plan, and you've got to adjust, and you've got to move, and you've got to, you know, move to something different. It happens. It's called life. It's called sports. Stop analyzing this stuff in April and worrying about stuff that is irrelevant, that doesn't matter at this point in time. Let these guys get into a groove. Let these guys get settled. And on May 15th, if you still have issues with Lugo pitching 5 or 6 innings and giving up 2 runs, feel free to send in a text.
Funny text alert from the 816. Are the Royals buyers or sellers? take the day.
That is fantastic.
Somebody had asked, because of Masters coverage, I'll give you a leaderboard update here in a second, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Each drink, scenic views at Dusty. You know, what's your bets for the Masters? I'll do it throughout the weekend, but to start off day one, I do have a wager on Justin Thomas to finish in the top five. His best year was 2017. He looks similar to that 17 version. So I have him top five at plus 400. I have Victor Hovland outright winner. That's plus 4,000. Hovland's just a machine. I think he could be a guy that could win it. I have Wyndman Clark to finish in the top five. That's plus 1,200. And then, of course, I have Rory McIlroy winning the whole thing at plus 650. I put a couple of stones on that one. So I have Rory as an outright winner because I do it every year. One year it's going to have to pay off. I think this is his year. Hopefully he makes a cut. Hopefully he gives us a chance on Sunday. But again, your leaderboard, former Masters champion Zach Johnson is the leader as of right now. He's through three holes. He's at minus two. Jonathan Vegas is at minus one. Mike Weir, another former champion, Canadian, he's at minus one.
Mike Weir, did he?
What about him?
Why do I know that name?
Well, he won the Masters, and he's Canadian, and he had a good year, and then he kind of just kind of dissipated throughout time. So that is your Masters leaderboard update. An athlete that you fell in love with as you got older is the question I want to ask you. Who is it and why? We dive into who ours is on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 96.5 Kansas City's.
Here's some Royals talk for you. I just saw this on the X, formerly known as Twitter. That triple that Bobby Witt got on April 6th in the day game against Baltimore.
April 6th?
No longer a triple. It is now a three-base error by Jorge Mateo.
Who goes back and watches this stuff and makes these determinations?
Geeks. So that changes our whiteboard. Vinny Pasquantino is now down in RBI, so he gets screwed out of it. Michael Massey gets screwed out of two RBIs, and Bobby Wood Jr. no longer has a triple in the season. It's now a three-base error because the guy couldn't catch the ball.
Was that the cycle game where he almost had the cycle, right?
Yeah. So imagine. Yeah.
Would they have done that?
Oh, yeah. They just did.
But what if he had, what if he had gone for the cycle in that? No way you're touching that if you're Major League Baseball. You can't be that stupid.
Last guy hit a cycle was Brett and 80?
For the Royals, yeah. But I mean, like, I think wasn't it 90? I think it was, well, I could, who knows, but a long time ago, right? And like, if he would have hit for the cycle in that game, and 4 days later, Major League Baseball went out there and said, no, we're taking this triple away, that would be stupid. That would be dumb. You don't do that kind of stuff. Just leave it go, man. Like, if once the ruling's made, if you got 24 hours or whatever to fix it and change it, fine, go ahead and do that if you feel the need. But I mean, my God, you talk about useless jobs in sports. We were talking about that yesterday as an NBA coach, the most worthless job in sports. Guy at MLB going back and watching errors.
Speaking of Rex Hudler, I remember one time he went to the statistician's booth. It was like, you can't do that. And they were like, dude, you got to get out.
Yeah, right.
You can't do this.
Well, Hud said something the other day about that. Like, there was a play. Oh, it was the Vinny Pasquantino one where he had no business, you know, getting in front of Massey trying to make that play, and they gave it a hit, and Hud goes, hard to get an error these days or something like that. You know, I'm like, it's true. I mean, it's true. They give that benefit of the doubt a lot of times to the batter, and I've talked to people who've done official scoring before, and sometimes people, like, from the dugout will call up and yell at these guys and berate these guys.
So the information came from MLB scoring changes. And the analysis they put on there is that this is a tricky one because, yes, Mateo should have made the catch, but he misjudged it to start, and there's debate to if he truly recovered and got there. In the end, committee is probably looking at Mateo not getting any arm extension and the ball hitting his glove and determining he was there. So no triple for Bobby Witt Jr., no RBI for Massey, no RBIs for Massey, and no sack fly for Vinny Pasquantino. They were robbed. An open framed in the 10th, I was robbed, gosh dang it. Kingpin, another one you need to check out.
I don't even know what you're talking about with that analysis. Like, who has the time of day?
Well, his arm didn't get extended.
Ah, Jesus.
Somebody says if he'd hit for the cycle, we'd burn this MF-er down. Oh,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, if he had hit for the cycle that day and they came back and said, no, we're taking away that triple and making it an error now, there's no way they would have done it. There's just no way they would have been that stupid. Well, I mean, Pittsburgh did take Roberto Clemente's name off a wall.
And then from our text line, they're also a statistician. They said, but Renfro's error still counts.
Which one?
Yeah.
Something's wrong with the sky over Kauffman Stadium. Why can't any outfielder play a ball?
I don't know. I don't know. I bet Jack Caglio would do all right. He's closer to the sky.
He is, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a government conspiracy, though. Like, guys in the outfield at Kauffman Stadium running, like, in circles.
We asked the question on the other side, 913-586-7965. Has there been an athlete that you just didn't care for, but as you got older and they got older and their career, you know, prolonged, that you started to kind of like more?
Yeah, I think I've always liked Tiger, but I appreciate him more now today than I did yesterday.
Because he's not there anymore.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you always appreciate stuff. That's why I've been so bullish on enjoy what we're living in right now, right? Guy on text line complaining about Seth Lugo. Why are you even a sports fan? If you're not enjoying what we're living in right now, and you're complaining about the runner-up to the Cy Young Award on April 9th or April 10th, okay? That's why I say you've got to enjoy this stuff, because you have people like that out there. Tiger Woods, I think, is kind of like the, you know, Patrick Mahomes for some. There's a lot of people that are taking this Patrick Mahomes thing for granted right now, right? Right. Oh, this is the way it's always going to be, and we're always going to... No, it's not. I mean, it's not. And that's kind of how I was with Tiger in golf. Oh, he's always going to be here, because you saw, you know, back when I was growing up, all these old men playing golf. You just assumed Tiger would be there to the end.
Yeah.
And then you realize how his body breaks down. And I just now wish, looking back, I would have enjoyed it more. And I did, but I wish I would have enjoyed it more, because now it's gone. And he was the reason why I was watching golf. And the other one for me, and it's become this way recently more than ever, Peyton Manning. I didn't appreciate him enough when he was playing and how good he really was. And I think a lot of it kind of got lost with, you know, Tom Brady winning 7 Super Bowls and it always being Brady and Manning, Brady and Manning. And I never really appreciated Peyton Manning enough. And you wonder, like, Peyton Manning may have the record of Super Bowls if Tom Brady never existed.
Mac, you have an athlete that you've gotten to like more as you've gotten older? Or is there one that you liked more as they got older and moved on in their career?
Yeah, mine would be Kobe Bryant. Just didn't appreciate him enough.
The Jayhawk football player?
Yeah, of course, the corner. Yeah, the Chiefs are going to draft.
Spelled differently.
No, yeah, Kobe Bryant would be mine. I mean, it kind of happened after he passed away, but then I just kind of looked back on his career, and I was just like, damn, I really wish I would have not as much hate watched him and really appreciated the talent that he was and the human being that he was too.
Yeah. Somebody from the text line from the 913 says, didn't love young Kobe Bryant because of all the comparisons to Michael Jordan. But as he got older and became his own man, it was easier to see his greatness.
Yeah. He was truly great.
Yeah. He does kind of fall into that category, because we did spend so much time comparing him to Michael Jordan and not appreciating Kobe for Kobe. That's the problem that happens with all of these athlete comparisons, is that you set these expectation level and then you expect them to meet or exceed that expectation level. And you're comparing people to Tom Brady and Joe Montana and Michael Jordan and, you know, LeBron James and Tiger Woods and all these greats of the, like, Tiger never beat Jack, you know? So you, like, you're at all of these levels with these great players. We compare them to the greatest, and the odds of them ever reaching that level of greatness are very slim. And then we don't appreciate what they're doing in the moment, because we're so concerned about whether they're not going to be the next Kobe Bryant or the next Michael Jordan or the next Tiger Woods.
Yeah. I think mine is kind of with the text line. A lot of people are saying, honestly, it's Tom Brady. You know, you hate the guy throughout his whole career because all he does is win. And then there's the deflate gate, there's the spy gate. But then you kind of like see how he's become this new, I don't know, kind of has like a different Renaissance definition of his career. Like, I thought he was decent as an announcer, got a lot of flack early on because of, like, he wasn't, you know, kind of got into his own. But about by weeks 5 or 6, I kind of started to enjoy what Tom Brady was doing in the booth. Now, a lot of that is because Romo's stale and I'm just over Tony. And I never really enjoyed his commentary. I thought it was interesting, but like,
I thought he got better this year. Once he had the come to Jesus meeting with CBS and they told him he was basically going to get fired from his $1 million a week job, get better. I thought he got better this year, but I understand where you are with Tony Romo. I get that.
Yeah. Mine's John Elway, because it took stones to hand the Chiefs that trophy. No, I kid. It's tough for me because Tom Brady, I enjoy more as I get older because of, like, I think another one that I didn't get to really see play, but I enjoy the older I get and the older they get, is Charles Barkley.
Charles, yeah.
You know, Shaq as well. Like, I thought Shaq was kind of a, I don't know, annoying basketball player just because he had, you know, the dominance down low. And then I didn't really know the personality was there. And the feud between he and Kobe, and he had that rap, like, Kobe, how's my ass taste? Or whatever it was in the nightclub that one night, and the whole drama that unfolded with that, because the Lakers could have had so much more if they'd have kept that duo together. I truly believe that. And then the whole, like, Shaqtus, I'm going to go win a ring for the king. And the Lakers would have had so much more if they'd have stayed, and I hated that. I enjoyed the Lake Show. I loved watching Kobe Bryant from the start. Never had a down moment with Kobe. But Shaq, as I watch him now, as he moves on, and that whole, you know, setup is great on the TNT broadcast.
Yeah, they do fantastic work. I'll tell you another guy that's kind of gotten me more intrigued over the years as I've gotten older, and it has to do with because they did the documentary Winning Time, is Magic Johnson too, right? Like,
yes.
I don't know that I'm kind of in that stage, like 1992 is when he was diagnosed with AIDS, and I'm trying to think, like, in 92, I was like a freshman in high school, right? So it's like really before you're truly watching all of this kind of stuff. stuff unfold and whatnot, and then seeing the greatness, because that was more kind of the tail end of Magic Johnson's career, obviously. Mm-hmm. And like all the good stuff happened in the late 70s, early 80s. And, you know, I'm not alive really at that point in time and watching and consuming all that kind of stuff. But I think Magic Johnson is kind of one of those guys that was a superstar right before I really got into being a sports fan and understood what Magic Johnson was all about. But you go back and watch videos of Magic Johnson. That guy was a smooth man. He was so good.
He's awesome.
Yeah. My sister has a good one. I think it's interesting. This summer, she says Travis Kelce.
Oh.
Because there's a lot of people, maybe early on, Travis Kelce's a hothead. He's getting ejected for throwing towels at a referee. He's, you know, missing curfew and missing the first half versus the Chargers. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, given a lot of me vibes, not a lot of we vibes. And then as he's gone throughout his career, I mean, he's probably, for a lot of people, a top three Chiefs player of all time.
Yeah, and I think he's had one of the greatest renaissances of a career of anybody I've ever seen play professional sports. Because, as you mentioned, you come in, you miss the first year with the knee injury, then you're a hothead, and Andy Reid's even undressing you in front of the media. And you know when that happens, like Andy's on his last straw. And then Travis Kelce turned it all around and turned around off the field, turned around on the field, and just became the greatest, you know, role model you could potentially have. That's a big credit to Travis Kelce, but also for Andy Reid for saying, one more, man, and we're done. We're not going to do this anymore. Throwing flags at the ref, the fly Eagles fly thing, and, you know, playing dice on the field, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, that's what he was doing.
Yeah, he was playing dice. Like craps, you know, he's betting on the come.
Of course, yes.
and so that's, you know, that was the kind of stuff that, like, got to the point of Andy Reid going, all right, one more and you're done. And then credit to Travis Kelce. He turned it around. Like, if you don't appreciate Travis Kelce at this point in time, you're never going to appreciate him.
Text line's bringing in a few. Derek Carr. That's interesting. Baker Mayfield is one.
That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yadier Molina. Somebody says Kadarius Toney. Didn't love him at first, but after listening to his rap album, he's grown on me.
The Joker.
Yeah. Steph Curry is one. On the text line, somebody says Dale Earnhardt Jr. or Dale Earnhardt Sr.
Senior,
yeah.
Ned texting him.
Ned's texting the show.
Yep.
Jeff Gordon, Tom Brady, Kyle Busch, Barry Bonds, and then someone says Gary Woodland. I don't know how you could never not like Gary Woodland. I think another one for me to keep the golf theme has been Bryson DeChambeau.
Mm.
Like how he was, like he came out, was like skinny dude, then got super big, got into like hitting like absolute bombs and became this like fictitious person. And there was the video where he like got hit by the cord and he came after like golf media. It's like, it's really annoying that you guys only show the downfalls of golfers and all that. And it was like, Bryson, come on. And then completely has revamped his career, gone to the YouTube with stuff, given Bob Does Sports a shout out in his Masters interview, which obviously, maybe kind of a shot at Rory, where he's like, I'm not a YouTuber. It's not my generation. Rory, you're 36.
Yeah, right.
But seriously, go win the Masters, Rory. But DeChambeau's been great. Like, when he won the U.S. Open last year, and he's pumping up the crowd, and he's, you know, I remember I showed you, he threw the ball to the kid, and that guy robbed it, and he went over there with his golf club, his putter, like, put in the guy's face, like, give him the ball back.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have to do that, and he did it. So, I mean, I think that's another one of those guys where it's like, you appreciate that when you see him actually become more humanized than he is, like, this fictitious character. Then you have the videos where he's hitting the ball over his house to hit a hole in one. And then he has a fan come out and do it, and the guy does it on his first shot.
That's awesome.
And no, that's like his third shot.
Look what happened there. The thing that you're talking about is what every athlete needs to understand. When you become fun and likable, you're going to go over, man. People are going to like you. They're going to want to hang out with you. They're going to want to buy the products you're endorsing. They're going to want to follow you. They're going to want to be a fan of yours. Mm-hmm. And so that's what these athletes really need to do. The athletes that can, you know, really resonate with the fans and have a good connection with the fans and be fun away from the game, those are the guys that are going to be successful. I mean, look at Peyton Manning. I mean, if Peyton Manning wasn't doing the stuff, him and Eli on Monday Night Football, I don't know that I'd have a more appreciation for Peyton Manning, but him doing all that stuff and seeing that side of him made me kind of reflect back on his career and realize, damn, he was really good. And we all missed out because we were focused on Tom Brady, you know, the entire time. I think another local one for a lot of people, maybe Mike Sweeney as well. Mm-hmm. I was just listening to the last commercial break and he was talking about the Blue Cross Blue Shield Coaches with Character program, which is what we do with CU in the major leagues and how awesome that is. Shout out Coach Reynolds, Olathe East, winning the first month of that one. And I will say, like, Mike Sweeney was so good, but people didn't appreciate him because he was on such bad teams and he never really had
that running mate locked up long term. Yes, he had Beltran for a little bit, but then eventually he was traded away, and you know, Mike signed that contract, and people would get mad at Mike Sweeney when that guy, let me tell you about a warrior. Mm. This guy was battling every back ailment in the world and gutted it out every day because he didn't want to let the fans down. And I think because he was making the money, the $55 million contract, and the team was losing, people took it out on Mike Sweeney. That guy could rake, man. Imagine having Mike Sweeney in this lineup right now.
That'd be great. Be awesome.
It's one of the great hitters of this organization's history.
Great human being.
Yeah, an even better human, right?
We missed one. The text line just chimed in on one that we all three missed. Jameis Winston.
Yeah, we're all starting to love Jameis Winston.
Was a young punk, kind of creepy, kind of annoying.
Stealing crab legs and all that kind of stuff.
Jumping on tables and saying stuff that he shouldn't.
Right.
Had the incident with the Uber driver.
Mm-hmm.
And then ever since he ate the W, it was over.
It's changed.
It's a completely different career.
Yeah.
Somebody says Ricky Henderson. And then somebody says Frank White, but it went reverse.
Take the day.
That's good.
Somebody that we all love, now we all can't stand. Frank White, ladies and gentlemen, come on down.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that's a good
one. I never liked him.
Like reverse, you know what?
Yeah, he doesn't care about Green Bay.
Ask Josh. Like, we talk about great coaches and quarterbacks all the time, and Josh is like, you're forgetting Rodgers and McCarthy. I'm like,
Somebody said Whit Merrifield said no one ever.
Yeah, right. The reverse, too, for him, right? Everybody loved Whit, and then he, you know, well, I played for a better team. I'd do what I need. Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know what athlete that grew on you, and now we're getting the reverse.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of wrestlers. John Cena. Thought he was a D-bag for a long time. Then you find out what a great guy he is with all the Make-A-Wish things. I think he has the record, like over like 300, or maybe it's more. It's like thousands, I think, actually. I'm pretty sure it's like thousands of Make-A-Wish things that he's done.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
It's something egregious like that.
That's great. He's actually a pretty good actor, too. He's pretty funny.
And you know what? Doing those Make-A-Wish things costs you nothing, and it changes lives, and people love it. It's the best, man.
You know how much of a hero you are that when in a scripted sport, you turn heel, and it turns the entire nation over? Like when he turned heel on Cody Rhodes and him and The Rock are out there and all of a sudden John Cena is the bad guy.
Yeah.
Like it had us talking about it.
Right.
It had the Drive talking about it.
It was cool.
Yeah. So a lot of people say Usain Bolt. They didn't like him at first, but another guy that you don't see at the Olympics anymore. And now you're like, damn, I miss that dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like
special.
Watching him run those sprints.
Yeah.
913 says Johnny Football, but I don't get that same.
He hasn't really done anything.
Doesn't
that's
feel
like,
that, like I don't know if you watched that documentary. It says that. That changed the perspective on him. I don't know. That didn't change the perspective on him for me at all.
Not at all. No. He was a good college player that came from money that, you know, lived his life. I mean, that's it, you know. I look at Johnny Manziel more as a guy who blew opportunities than you know, got better. Like, he had every opportunity in the world, and he didn't take advantage of it.
A guy that we might think is an athlete that we didn't really appreciate that we might as we get older is somebody that John Gruden likes.
Now you're a big dual threat quarterback, aren't you?
Oh yeah.
Isn't that what you are?
Damn right.
Who is this?
Josh Allen, man.
No, it's not. It's the MVP of the league,
MVP,
man.
Josh Allen.
What is? He's a real big dual threat now.
Time out. Did he do a John Gruden impersonation?
He absolutely did.
I'm gonna play that again.
Now you're a big dual threat quarterback, aren't you?
Oh yeah.
Isn't that what you are?
Damn right.
Who is this?
Josh Allen, man.
No, it's not. It's the MVP of the league,
MVP,
man.
Josh Allen.
What is? He's a real big dual threat now. Mm-hmm. But when I look at Joshua Allen, he went to the combine. What was he?
6'4".
What are you?
6'4".
How much did he weigh?
237.
You guys are the same size, man.
Yeah,
so that's how big a guy you are.
Yeah.
26 career rushing touchdowns. You had an 80-yard touchdown run. 71. That's like Saquon Howard.
Chalk me up as maybe kind of rooting for Will Howard now.
Chalk me up as like if you're Tennessee, maybe you consider taking him number one overall. I mean, John Gruden saying it, right?
Now, you're a big dual threat quarterback, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Damn Isn't that what you are?
Damn right.
Who is this?
Josh Allen, man.
No, it's not.
Josh Allen, man.
No, I mean, like, what's to say Will Howard can't be a good quarterback in the NFL? I never considered it because he's not on the hype train. And that's what the draft is all about. You get that hype train going for you, everybody's going to think you're great. Josh Allen is a pretty damn good quarterback to be compared to, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
blank slate. And I've got your name.
Okay.
So will you take a guy who's being compared to Josh Allen or Shedeur Sanders?
Well, comparisons are
there's nobody compared to Shedeur Sanders.
I know. That's the thing. Like, a guy's being compared to Josh Allen by a former coach and a quarterback guru, and then Shedeur Sanders. Mm. Which is the better selection? That is a question you should ask yourself now if you're a general manager in that draft room. Are we taking Shedeur because we believe he's this good, or are we taking Shedeur because of the hype train of social media, of outside pressure, and all of that kind of stuff? Because it's going to look good tomorrow when somebody grades our draft. Is that why we're taking Shedeur Sanders? Or is Shedeur Sanders going to be really, really good in the NFL? I don't know the answer to that question.
But that is the correct question, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
If he doesn't go in that top five, I think he's sliding big time.
Like, the hype train is why a lot of these guys get drafted, right? If the quarterback position, any position, you get that hype train behind you. Shador's had the hype train, right? He's got the best hype man in the business, his dad, right? Mm-hmm. And he's Deion, by the way, right? So not only is he Deion, but he's his dad. That's double the hype train for Shedeur Sanders. Then we saw the story of Colorado. That hype train was there. Will Howard played at K-State. Kind of a nondescript place, right? That's no offense to K-State, but it's a nondescript kind of college, right?
Not on the map.
Then he goes to Ohio State, wins a national championship, and people are going, oh, that guy, he may be pretty good. And then you got John Gruden saying he could be Josh Allen. Yeah. Like, if you're a personnel guy right now and you need a quarterback, how much are you thinking about Will Howard? Or is that John Gruden just trying to start the hype train too? I don't know the answer to that question.
Somebody from the 417 on the athlete they grew to like, Deion Sanders, before he was at Colorado, I hated him. Now I don't.
See, that's a great one. That, and like, you should like Deion Sanders because he is out for the kids, man. He really, look at the hype train that he's done for his son, for Travis Hunter, what he's doing at that university. Like, I would love that. If I was the president of a university looking for a football coach, I'd absolutely hire Deion Sanders. He's changed that entire university.
From the 660, he's only compared to Josh Allen by height and weight. Literally nothing he does on the field. He said that he runs like Josh Allen.
Right.
So there's one more. And again, we're not saying that he's Josh Allen. It's just welcome to comparison season. That's what the NFL draft is. It's just comparison season. Coming up on the other side, I told you at the beginning of the show that there would be a story that would evolve in the Masters, and we have it. What it is, I'll explain on the other side on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Bobby Witt Jr., and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
I do agree with this text from the 913. Radio commercials with car horns and sirens have to be made illegal.
I said that to myself yesterday. I was in the car and I was at, like, I forget where I was driving around. And
just,
I'm
giving,
like,
people the bird.
Yeah, and you shake it for a second. Like, is there a cop coming? Ambulance coming? I thought it was illegal to have commercials with the sirens on it. At least that's what my father told me when I was growing up. A lot of the stuff you find out your parents told you is lies. Like, what's that big mound of dirt? Oh, that's, if you don't practice piano, we bury children there. Oh, my God. Practice piano.
Like that time I found pot shavings in your dresser drawer, and you told me they were pencil shavings.
I learned it by watching you.
I told you I'd give you the story that's developing. Again, it's super early, I understand.
Something with Aaron Rye?
No, he's tied for the lead.
well, but developing.
There are 1, 2, 3, 4 people tied at the lead of the Masters leaderboard right now. Zach Johnson, former Masters winner, he's tied for the lead at -2. Christian Kirk's brother, Chris Kirk, he's at -2 as well. Aaron Rye as well. And then here we go. Noah Kent, the amateur, is at -2, tied for the lead early on in the Masters.
So how many holes has he played?
He is through 4.
Okay.
So he's...
he's averaging a half shot under each hole. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah. So... yeah, you have an amateur at the top of the leaderboard early on. I know it's the Masters. I know people can fall apart, but that is a story that could develop. Obviously,
you can't win if you don't lead early, right?
Neil Shipley was one of the stories last year who was a low amateur. He actually won the low amateur round.
What do you mean by a low amateur?
Means there's 3 that make it to the Masters, and the lowest score is the low amateur of the round.
Oh, okay.
So you get to be in the winner's cabin at the end of the Masters. You'll see, that's why the viral picture, if you like type in Will Shipley, you'll see the picture of him like looking over like this when he's in there with Scottie Scheffler. They're like, what was he looking at, is the question that everybody had in their mind.
Just looking at the moment, right? Yeah. Like, how would you be if you're an amateur and you were in that cabin, right?
I mean, it's insane.
Yeah.
So at the end of the tournament, whoever's the low, whether you make the cut or not, if you shoot the lowest score out of the 3, you are,
praise.
That's dope.
Oh, it'd be awesome.
Yeah, it's
awesome.
Cool.
That's very cool.
I'm sitting next to this Tiger Woods guy.
Yeah, I mean, could you imagine being the amateur that year and Tiger's sitting next to you? Like, I know other golfers matter, but we're talking about Tiger here. It's different. It's a whole new ball game.
Let it go.
But there's nobody now. You're like, oh, that's, you know, great.
Wickedly talented.
Yeah, Scheffler tees off in 30 minutes, 9:15. Yep.
And he'll be 4 under through the first 5 holes, and it'll be like, here we go again. But yeah, so keeping you updated there, brought to you by Twin Peaks, Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views, your Masters leaderboard update. Mm-hmm. 2 hours for Cody and Gold and JT. Drew is out practicing his golf swing.
Oh, he is. All right. Good for him.
Taking it serious, man. Neil Shipley. Sorry. Neil Shipley. Will Shipley is a tight end. My bad. Neil Shipley.
Yeah, Will, didn't he like play at Texas?
Will Shipley was a Texas guy.
He was Texas wide receiver.
Orange, yeah.
Yeah, he was with Colt McCoy.
Now he's probably like an assistant coach on the Texas staff.
Yes, I remember Shipley.
Or wherever Colt McCoy's coaching these days. He's somewhere, right? Isn't he like at Alabama or someplace?
He is somewhere.
I feel like Chris Sims is one of those athletes that I liked as he got older. Like, I didn't really care for him as a quarterback.
Sure.
But
he didn't really do much.
Right, but I mean, he was there. He was a big name.
Yeah.
And now he does that radio show, what is it? Pardon my take. What does he do? He does it with Florio.
Florio.
I kind of like
PMT
his.
Or the
he Pro was Football Talk today. Hilarious at Radio Row. Like, off the record, we were in the bathroom. I know this is going weird, but Rappaport walked in.
Yeah.
And Sims was like, zip him up, boys. Rappaport's in here. You never know what he's going to report. And the whole bathroom just dies laughing.
Did Rappaport find funny in
it? Oh, he laughed. He laughed. And then I just
went. Or did he want to fight Chris outside the Starbucks?
No. Because he didn't beat him to the source.
Yeah.
But no, I chimed in. I was like, well, I can't afford that pub. And they all started laughing again. And then we're all washing our hands. It's like, all right, let's get out of here, Sims. And he's like, yep, getting out of here.
That's awesome.
That's
it
funny.
Was a good moment at Radio Row.
Is that your best bathroom experience of like something like that happening? Like famous celebrity run ins in the bathroom, because we could ask Alex about this when they shut the bathroom down at the Superdome because Jay-Z was taking a leak.
Gosh, that's ridiculous.
Nobody else can go in. Jay-Z's got to pee.
The hell. McCoy is a Big Ten analyst.
Oh, never mind.
Will Shipley's a running back for the Eagles. Jordan Shipley was the wide receiver that we were thinking
of. All over the place. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Shipley, Sipley, Blipley. Who gives a rip? Lakers in 5.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, I just, cannot wait for the draft party. So Ozzie Guillen, I haven't heard that name in a long time. He's a tough one, but he had some comments the other day radio host is tougher than being a manager.
He's absolutely right about that.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely right about that. We could manage a baseball game, and that's no nonsense.
I believe that.
No, and
I'm
absolutely
not trying to go against the grain. I am, but there's no way.
Yeah, absolutely you could. You put together a lineup, you sit there, and you watch a baseball game, and you make a couple of changes, put a pitcher in lefty versus – I mean, it's not breaking the atom. Doing a radio show and what we do every day is not easy work. People think it's easy because we're so good at what we do, right? Just like good football coaches. Like, everybody thinks what Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes does is easy. Oh, they make it look so easy. Because they work their asses off at that, right? Same thing with, Brett Veach in the drafts. Oh, he drafts. Because they work their asses off at that. I would bet every dollar that I have, which isn't a lot, but I would bet every dollar that I have you and I would be more successful managing one game of a baseball season than a manager would be coming in here and doing 4 hours on the radio. Because most of the managers in Major League Baseball have zero personality whatsoever, zero ability to entertain. I think a couple of guys, that guy who's the bar fighter in Milwaukee could probably do a 4-hour radio show. Pat, whatever that guy's name is up there in Milwaukee, right? That guy's been in bar fights. That guy's scrapped. That guy's got stories. He could come in here and regale you with stories of yesteryear. I think he'd be pretty good. I think Aaron Boone could do it because he's done it before. I think he'd be fine at doing that. Dave Roberts, I think, and maybe the Padres manager, Mike Schilt. Like, there's not many managers that have that personality and the ability to go out there and host a radio show. Like, people always want to denigrate what we do for a living, right? You couldn't. You could not do what we do for a living. And I'm not sitting here trying to say that I'd be this great baseball manager or anything like that, but I know I could manage a baseball game. I don't believe the majority of baseball managers could walk in here and do a 4-hour radio show.
I just don't think I could. There's so much that goes into it, like lefty, righty, history of a pitcher. Like, there's just so much I have to dive into that I wouldn't think about. Like,
that's why you have a good bench coach, honestly. I mean, I was watching.
Well, we do a good job because we have a good producer.
We do?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, where is he?
Yeah, where's that guy at?
Where's that guy?
Growing.
But I was watching, I think it was, I don't remember what game it was, and they were talking about the manager being young, but they had John Gibbons as his bench coach, who was a major league manager for, you know, 12 years or whatever.
JR's
days, right? Yeah, exactly. And he was here, you know, obviously with the Royals for a while. And they said the reason this guy was a good manager is because he had a great bench coach with him that's been in the game before. Those guys have good assistants and people like that that you talk to. I mean, Ned said he became a better manager when he started listening to everybody else. You don't do it on your own. But to sit there and say that, like, you couldn't manage a baseball game, no, you absolutely could manage a baseball game. And to have a baseball manager come in here and do this type of show, I don't think they could. And Ozzie Guillen was right about that. I mean, he's talking about how hard it is to do the job every day and to make sure you don't say the wrong thing, you don't get canceled, you don't do all this kind of stuff. He goes, there's so much that goes into doing this on a daily basis that people just don't think about. And he's right about that. Now, again, not to say that there's not a lot that managers do that we don't think about, but I would challenge any manager in baseball to come in here and do a four-hour radio show, and I'd switch jobs with them and go manage a baseball game, and I would have more success than they would.
Hey, Matt.
Good morning. Yeah. How do you do? I've always thought, I mean, I could coach an NFL team. I'd hire the right people.
Somebody brought up a good point that kind of brings the start of this conversation full circle. So we were talking about Neil Shipley, the amateur, last year. On Sunday, he got paired with Tiger. And they bring this up on Full Swing. I wish you guys would watch this because it's not just, it is golf, but it's so much more. It's, again, I'm extremely biased, but if you watch it, you'll love it more.
Yeah, I bet I'd
and
like
they
it.
Have a they have a featured episode on him. And at the end of the episode, he's like, yeah, I get to be paired up with Tiger today. And then they in the episode, he's like, and I beat him.
That's awesome.
That is so, cool. Yeah,
it's,
yeah. Just,
it's crazy, man. Yeah. Coming up on the other side, your all-time GM and coaching combos. There's one that's currently in Kansas City, and I don't need to say their names. Colo and Q. We'll get to the other side of it on here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5, The Fan.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry blend and orange hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.